Pesach night, we start with Kiddush. Yes, the Kiddush on Shabbos is different from the Kiddush on Yom Tov. The Gemara in Arvit Pesachim has a machlokes amaroyim, and the maskana is that on Shabbos, the Nusach HaBracha is Mekadesh HaShabbos, and only on Yom Tov do we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Why is the difference? So the Gemara explains that we're amaroyim who said that even on Shabbos is say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hashabbos, but we don't pass like that. Why is it a difference? So the Gemara explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Shabbos directly. Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshes. V'Yivaruch HaLekeim Asi Yom HaShvei V'Akadosh Oysa. The Rav Shalom is Mekadosh all the Shabbosim and Sheshes Mei Bereshes. V'Asheini Ken Yontif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Os. And we in turn are Mekadosh the Yom HaTovim. How exactly are we Mekadosh the Yom HaTovim? The Gemara in Yesh Nechlin, Bav Basi Yesh Nechlin, quotes a Pasuk, V'Dabba Moshe's Mayadei Hashem, Bnei Yisrael. So you see from that pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is like the Sanhedrin, that it's a mitzvah on the bezin to declare the kedusha sayyim of the yomim tovim. How do we exactly do the yom? How did the bezin do it? So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara, I think the Rashbam writes the pasuk pshat, the bezin is mekadosh rosh chodesh, and the mele Pesach falls out on the 15th of the month. The Rashba has a unique interpretation. He says that's not sufficient. That's not the Kaddish Yisrael Hazman. That's the Kaddish Yisrael Rosh Chodesh. And then Mela, Yanta becomes Nikva. So the Rashba thinks, shot in the Pasuk, that it's a din d'oraisa. So the Bezin has to convene, a Bezin of three has to convene on Yanta. And declare today is Mekudesh B'Kedushas Yanta. It's not enough just to rely on the Bezin declaring Rosh Chodesh. I always wondered why Rav Soloveitchik mentioned this Rashba. Such a, it's like a novelty, like a believe it or not, a collector's item. That's not Pashab Shad. So then after many years I realized, because he gave a whole shiur that was based on that assumption. He thought that that's the Igib Shad. How do we do, what are we doing today to be Mekadosh Yomim Tovim? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban says that Hillel Hasheni, the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nosi, was the one who established the Luach Kavua that we follow, Bizman Hazeh. Hillel Hasheni saw that the Smicha is going to be discontinued. We haven't had Smicha for a long, long time, for 1,500 years already. And if you don't have Smicha, you can't have a Bezin, you can't be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. So he worked out the whole system, and he was Mekadosh all the Rosh Chodesh and Matbias HaGoyel. This Moshiach that come in. He declared which years will be Shana Muberes. So when we say Mekadosh Yisrael Hazmanim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Bnei Yisrael, and we are Mekadosh Dizman. Not that we today are Mekadosh Dizman. We sit back, and Hillel Hasheni was Mekadosh Olazman. But he was part of Kol Yisrael, he was Mekadosh Dizman. The Rambam does not think like that. The Rambam understands. The Rambam claims that there's a halacha l'moshe misina, that Bizman, that there's a Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin should appoint a Bezin of three, either three members of the Sanhedrin or three people who are not necessarily members of the Sanhedrin, but it should be done under the auspices of the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. So Bizman, that there's a Sanhedrin, they should be in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh, and Bizman has said there's no Sanhedrin. So the Luach happens by itself. Halacha l'moshe misina, the Luach happens by itself. That's what the Ramban makes fun of the Rambam. He says, I know how to learn a little bit. I'm a little bit familiar with the Gemara. I never heard of this Halacha l'moshe misina. What is it? They kept it a secret from me. Why they keep it a secret? I never heard. He makes fun of the Rambam. So the Biskarov has a whole essay. He says, yeah. The Gemara talks about the Sod Ho'ibur. That was kept a secret. That was the secret. That this Halacha l'moshe misina. The Rambam got it from the Goyanim, who write like this. So in one place the Rambam writes that it's halacha l'moshe misina, the yomim tovim happen by themselves. And the other place the Rambam says that it's the bezin sheberetz yisrael bezman hazeh who make the yomim tovim. What do you mean, who make the Rosh Chodashim and the yomim tovim? What do you mean the bezin and eretz yisrael bezman hazeh? Nobody has any smicha already for many. The days of the Rambam. How many Jews were there in Eretz Yisrael?
Rashi would say that it's like the Rashi in Vayikra, that it wasn't enough that the fire came down from heaven to light the Mizbeach, but that we had to do like a ceremonial lighting as well.
So what does it mean here?
That this is more like, yes, the holidays, the Chagim, are Mekudosh by themselves, but we have to become partners with the Kaddish Baruch Hu.
We have to participate also in making an into Rosh Chodesh and making it. So how do we participate? So the Rambam says the Bezin Sheber Eretz Yisrael. What Bezin? When Bezin? There is no Bezin in Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of Batidim, but nobody has any Smicha. So where's the Bezin? So Rav Soloveitchik thought the way you are saying, he gave, this was the first Yahrzeit Rasha that he said after his father passed away, and he wrote it up and he printed it. So he thought that it means the Klal Yisrael Sheberetz Yisrael, they observe Rosh Chodesh, they observe Yontov, so their observance, it doesn't mean Bezdin Sheberetz Yisrael. That's what he says, Bezdin. He thought it does mean Bezdin. It means that Klal Yisrael Sheberetz Yisrael are Noyik, Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, and Noyik by Davening Musaf, and Noyik Kedushas Yontov, by observing all the mitzvahs of Yontov. So that makes this Halacha Moshe Misinai take effect. Whatever it is, that's the difference between Shabbos and Yontov. And on Shabbos you say Mekadesh HaShabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mekadesh Shabbos, and on Yontov HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh us, and we in turn are Mekadesh the Shabbos. That's why the Kiddush on Yontov begins HaShabbos HaBanu Mikol Olam. We start with Bechiras Yisrael. Without Bechiras Yisrael, the Yontov doesn't get off the ground. In the Kiddush of Shabbos, we start HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos, and then in Nusach Ashkenaz we say Kibana Vachata V'Yasani Kidashto, because Anochri Shabbos is Chai Misan. Shabbos is only relevant for the Jews, but we don't start HaShabbos HaBan B'Kolam on Shabbos because we're not the ones who created the Kedushas HaShabbos. The Bechiras Yisrael is much more crucial in the Kedusha of Yontov than it is in the Kedusha of Shabbos. Then in the Kiddush of Yontov we mention Ma'adil Misimcha Chagim Is Manim L'Sason. And on Shabbos, we don't mention that because on Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. On Yontov, even on Chol HaMoed, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. And on Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Well, the Achronim are bothered with the Kasha. How come we say Yismuchu B'malchuscha on Shabbos if there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos? So this, the Chemin has 10 pages where he quotes a whole Likud of Achronim to work on that Kasha. But the din is that on Shabbos, there's no Chiyuv Simcha. Tosfos in Moed Katan, in the third parak of Maseches Moed Katan, quotes that from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Mishnah says that Yontov cancels Avelis. If one is in the middle of Shiva, one is in the middle of Shloshim, so Yontov cancels the remainder of the Shiva, cancels the remainder of Shloshim, but Shabbos does not cancel neither Shiva nor Shloshim. Why is that? So one could have said a simple reason. Kach tikna chacham, if Shabbos is going to cancel Shiva Shloshim, so you never have Shiva, you never have Shloshim. Yontov cancels, so most of the time you will have Shiva Shloshim, and once in a while Yontov will cancel. But that's not the reason that's given by the Talmud Yerushalmi. Tosfos in Ela Megalchin quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that Yontov there's a chiyuv simcha, so simcha and avelus is a tarte disaster. So that's why Yontov cancels Shiva and Shloshim. But on Shabbos there is no chiyuv simcha, so therefore Shabbos does not cancel avelus. We hold la halacha there's a machlokes Tosfos and the Yorzarua. The Ramah Paskins and Hilchas Avelos, like the Ozarua, that Erev Pesach after Chatzos is also a Yontov. That's a Yontov of Chag HaPesach, the Yontov of Korban Pesach. What we call Pesach in Chumash is called Chag HaMatzos, the Yontov of Chag HaMatzos. So Tosfos in Zvochim and Daf Kuf, Tosfos is of the opinion that Erev Pesach Yontov, that doesn't cancel Avelos. Yontov, Pesach cancels Avelos. Erev Pesach, that's not a Yontov. You bring a Korban Pesach, that's not a Yontov. And the Ramah Paskins Lahaka, like the Ozarua, that one who is observing Shiva Shloshim, when it comes Chatzos on Erev Pesach, that cancels the Avelos, because that's already Yontov. That's not the Yontov of Chag HaMatzos, that's the Yontov of Chag HaPesach. No. Pashta Achreidim Eska Kasha, how does the Ramah Paskin against the Tosfos in Zvach? So the Pashta says, Halachik Devam Mekel Bavali, Paskins B'Torah Safi. You go lekula. That's the reverse direction. Let's say akoybas mesa baregel. If a funeral takes place on Yontov, so you have to. So Yontov doesn't cancel Shiva. The person didn't begin to observe anything. So if the Yontov is over, then the person has to observe the full Shiva. So what if someone is buried on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? Every year there's always a someone dies every day of the year. So there's always a funeral Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So the pashtus is that there we would go lahakalaktosis. We would say that he should observe, should take off his shoes, should observe avelus a little bit, not to treat it like a yontov, so that Pesach will come and cancel the shiva. You always go lahakal in both directions.
Yeah, but then if every Pesach is going to cancel out a shiva, then Chag HaMatzos should cancel out the shloshim.
That's a good kasha. It's not so. That's a good kasha. The Rishonim asked that kasha by Sukkos. If one is in, let's say, Akoros Meisa, someone is buried before Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva, and Yom Kippur cancels Shloshim. Or someone is buried before Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur cancels Shiva, and Sukkot cancels Shloshim. So if someone is buried on Erev Sukkot, Why don't you say that Sukkah is cancel Shiva and Shmini Atzeres is a regular Bifnei Atzma should cancel Shloshim? So the din is that it's not so. So that's a discussion. Why not? The Rishonim have a discussion. Why not? Why don't you say like that? So the same question over here. Why shouldn't you say that Chag Pesach should knock off the Shiva and Chag HaMatzah should knock off Shloshim? So whatever answer they give over there, it's going to be the same answer over here. It'll be the same answer over here. The Mishnah in Perek Arvei Pesachim records the Machlokes Bisham and Bisilo. What is the Seder of the Kiddush? Do you first say Bor Piagofen and then you say Kiddush? That's how Bisilo hold. You start off with the Bor Piagofen. Or do you first start off with the Kiddush and then you say the Bor Piagofen? So we always follow Bisilo Shita by Kiddush and by Havdalah. And when you have a Bris Milah, first you say Bor Piagofen, then you say Shikiddush, you did me bet then. And by a wedding, by Bichas Nisuin, first you say Bar Piagofen, and then you say. Taisa says in Brachas, the one exception to the rule where the Beis Hillel agreed to the Beis Shammai, that you say the Bar Piagofen at the end is Bichas Amozen. Because if you're first going to say Bar Piagofen, then say Bichas Amozen ala kos, ala yayin, so then Bichas Amozen is a declaration of Hesach Hadas from eating. So then when you want to drink the kos, the din is Amavarch Tzorch Sheitim. When you say Brach ala kos, you have to drink some of the wine. So when you're going to want to drink the wine later, after the benching is over, you'll have to say another Bar Piagofen, because the benching is a declaration of Hesach Hadas. So you won't gain anything by saying the Bar Piagofen first, so that's why you say the Bar Piagofen last. So that's why it sounds from Tosis, that that's the one and only exception to the rule that the Bar Piagofen is recited after the Brach Halakos. On Pesach night, we have another two exceptions, Asher Gyalanu, the second kos, and the Bichas Hashir, the fourth kos, also we said Bar Piagofen at the end. So the Rishonim pointed out, and it's very unclear what the answer is. Manishtana, why are these brachas different? How come you say the Bar Piagofen on the second and the third kos after the Brach Halakos? The Chach Misvarad have, the Svaradim have the practice, they don't say Bar Piagofen on the second kos and the fourth kos, because it said Bar Piagofen on the first kos, and there's no Hesach Hadas, so the Bar Piagofen covers the second kos. Then you say Birchas Hamazon, so that's a declaration of Hesach Hadas, Hepsik for meeting. So you got to say Bar Piagofen on the third kos, but there's no need to say Bar Piagofen on the fourth kos. And the Ashkenazim have the practice that we say four times Bar Piagofen on each one of the kosim. So that's a big question. Why is that so? So some say, based on the Gemara we were discussing yesterday, the Gemara says there's a Hesach Hadas. The Gemara said there's a Hesach Hadas between the Tilas Yadayim we discussed yesterday, I think. No? Or a different Shia? No? Okay. Wrong Shia. So the Gemara says, even though you washed, when you dip the karpas into the salt water, it's a davish tevula b'mashki, you have to wash again before you say hamoitzi. Because the Gemara asks why, but you already washed the hands. So the Gemara says it's a hesach hadas. So Tosfos has a machlokes with the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. What does it mean? So Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim learns hesach hadas only means from shmiras hayadayim. There's a hesach hadas from washing your hands, and your hands become again stam yadayim, that's why you have to wash again. But the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim holds, there's no hesach hadas from eating. When he says the bar pri hadam on the karpas, he has a mind to cover the maror in the middle of the meal. So according to Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim, there's no hesach hadas perhaps from the first cup to the second cup, but from the third cup to the fourth cup. Tosfos doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. Tosfos thinks, doesn't agree on two accounts. Tosfos thinks hesach hadas means hesach hadas from eating. So if you would say Bar Pri Hadam on the Karpas, that's not going to cover the Morer. There's too long a pause. And then Tosfos disagrees. They say, why should you have to say Bar Pri Hadam on Morer at all? It's Dvarim Habay Machmas Hasuda. It's part of the meal. The Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim holds that that's ridiculous. Let's say a person in the washes for Hamoitzi and he's eating a meal. In the middle of the meal, he decides to have a chocolate bar. He decides to have a drink of schnapps. The chocolate bar and the schnapps doesn't fit in with the meal. If you serve a course in the meal to fill you up, you serve the soup, you serve gefilte fish, you serve kugel, cholent, meat, chicken, whatever. Something that's a course in the meal, so that's called Dvar Maboy Machmas Hasudim. But if you eat the chocolate bars, or you eat candies in the middle of the meal, that's not Dvar Maboy Machmas Hasudim. Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim holds, what normal person eats mora in the middle of the meal? It doesn't taste good. You don't want to, you want to eat mora. The Tosfos says not so. Tosfos in different places has different explanations. Tosfos in Pesachim and Tosfos in Brachos. So one Tosfos they say, why not? We eat romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce, people eat lettuce all year long in the middle of the meal. You eat a vegetable salad. That's Dvar Maboy Machmas Hasuda. It's healthy. And the other version in Tosfos says that al pidin it's dvar habayim machmas asudah. Since al pidin the halacha requires you have to eat lachatchi the first matzah and then maror. That's the seder that appears in Chumash al matzahs amram yachluhu. So the Rashbam says based on that lachatchi you should eat matzah and then eat maror. But yeah, but if you have maror before matzah you'll be yotzei. But there's a lachatchila deraisa here to have the matzah first. So since lachatchila deraisa you have to have the matzah first on the menu tonight al pi halacha it says that maror is part of the meal. Maror is one of the course, whether you like it or not, whether it's bitter, whether it's normal or not. The schnapps and the chocolate bar is never part of the meal. That's not dvar haboy machmas asudah. But on Pesach night, the maror al pidin is considered the dvar haboy machmas asudah. So that's the machlokes Tosfos and the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelman.
We're going to hold this essay that's the Gabe, the Kosos, so you have to make a new bracha on Kos number two. So how are we Yotze Kiddush Malkum Suter? And that also be essay Hadas?
It's a good taina. I don't know. When we said the Kiddush, we had a mind to eat the meal here. So even though there's a Hesach Hadas, you got to say another bracha on the second course. But since we plan to eat, I don't know. The kasha is better than the teretz. I don't know.
It's only an issue. It's only al pi din, the marginal part of the Suda when you have a Kar Pesach. Right? Almost as in real flu, you eat it together, either whatever. Either right after, as part of the Suda, it comes together with the Pesach.
Right, and in our Torah, the Marah B'Zman HaZeh doesn't exist. Marah B'Zman HaZeh is only with the Rabbanan, but with the Rabbanan, it's on the menu.
But you can't say, just because it's on the menu, you can't say that it's coming Machos HaSuda. I mean, it's one thing to say it's coming to be Malachos HaSuda as a Karban, right? That it comes together with the Karban. Yeah. So it's part of the Suda, because it's if you don't eat it together with a hill, at least you eat it next to it, it's Shayach to the Karban. Here it's just a what does that do with the Suda?
It's Takanas Chachamim, that you have to eat the maror in the middle of the meal. Kach tikno chachamim. So either a mitzias, because people do eat vegetable salad, people do eat lettuce salads in the middle of the meal, or because al pidin, midi rabbanon, it's on the menu.
Just because they said to eat it during
the meal to make it part of the meal. Midi rabbanon, al pi halacha, it's part of the meal. That's the one suggestion that Tosfos says. So that's a question. The Ashkenazim say bracha on the second course and the fourth course. So one explanation that they give is that this Hesach Hadas. We assume this Hesach Hadas, like Tosfos says, Asuchi Dait Hesach Hadas from eating, as opposed to Hesach Hadas only from Shmiras Ayidai. And then other Rishonim say a different husband. No, since you're saying another bracha alakos, the Gemara says on Pesach night we recite four brachas alakos. You say Kiddush alakos, Asher Gyalonu alakos, Bichos Hamozon alakos, and Bichos Hashir alakos. So since he's saying four brachas halakos, every bracha halakos requires its own burpee agof, and even though it's not required, mitam hilchas brachas hanene. It's a din in bracha halakos. A bracha halakos requires a burpee agof, and even though it's not really needed, betoras brachas hanene. That's a question whether that is correct. Let's say that in Shulchan Aruch there's a discussion of a Talmud Yerushalmi passage. A person is drinking wine on Erev Shabbos. What's he doing having a wine party Erev Shabbos? Akasha. He daven mincha early, and he's going to daven maror later, whatever. Drinking wine, he said bar pi agofen, and then it's time to say Kiddush. So when he says Kiddush, does he have to say bar pi agofen? Well, no. He's drinking wine for the last hour. Let him just say the Kiddush. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So this is on the assumption that every kos needs its own bar pi agofen. This is on the assumption that a koshal brocha requires bar pi agofen, mitam koshal brocha, even though it's not really required, mitam birchas hanenen. That's a shaila by the wedding, by a chasana. In the days of the Gemara, there was a long pause between the erisin and the nisuin. They would wait a year, they would wait a half a year. Bizman hazeh, we have the takonas agonim to have the nisuin immediately following the erisin. We're afraid if the girl will be an eishes ish for a year and there's no husband around, she may be mizana with someone. You have to make sure that she's not mizana. So the goyim changed the practice. They say, even though that was the practice in the days of Tanakh, that was a long pause between Erisin and the Nisuin, they changed it and they said you have to have Nisuin immediately following Erisin. So the question begs itself. You have he just said Bar Piagofen over the Koshal Erisin, and then 2 minutes later you say again Bar Piagofen over the Koshal Nisuin. What are you saying another Bar Piagofen for? So Rashi and the Rabbi Natam introduced the practice that you read the Ksub in between, to have a Hafsokah. And some people like to have the rabbi gives a drasha, some people like to have the chazan sings a niggun. So whatever hafsokas, the longer the drasha, the better. And the chazan, the longer he sings, is better. You want to have a hafsokah in between the bar piagof and the beris and the bar piagof and avnisum. But even if you read, that's why you should read the ksuba slowly. Some rabbis have a practice. They read the ksuba at the greatest speed. The whole idea of reading the Ksuvah is to have a hafsaka, to have a pause, that the Bar Piyagofen should make sense. But the question still doesn't make sense. Even if you read the Ksuvah slowly, how long does it take to read the Ksuvah? 5 minutes. So that's a Hesach Hadas. So the Pashtus is that we really hold like on Pesach night. It's another Kosher Brachah, so you need another Bar Piyagofen. But it doesn't look nice. You just said Bar Piyagofen a minute ago, 2 minutes ago. So you make it look a little better by reading the Ksuvah. But Mikra Din, we really hold that that by the Kos Nisuin, you say another Bar Piyagofen, like the second Kos and the fourth Kos. How much wine do you have to have? So a Kos Shel Bracha has to have a minimum of Revius. If you have more than Revius, it's certainly good. Revius is the volume of a Beitza Umachza of wine. How much wine do you have to drink? So that's another question. So the Gemara says, Roiv Kos. Tosis writes on that Gemara, one line Tosis says, when it says Roiv Kos, it's not accurate. It really means Maloy Lugmov. Where does Maloy Lugmov come from? That's a different din. The Gemara says, Hamavarch Tzor Sheyitom, whenever you say a Broch Alakos, you say Birchas Hamazon Alakos, Kiddush Alakos, Havdol Alakos, Bayachasana, you say a Broch Alakos. So the Gemara says, Hamavarch Tzor Sheyitom, if you don't take a sip of the wine, so it's considered as if the kos is not mitzuruf to the bracha. So how much wine do you have to drink? So the Gemara says, Maloy Lugmov. How much is Maloy Lugmov? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ran on Arbei Pesachim, by an autumn bainani, it depends how big your mouth is. Some people have a big mouth, some people have a little mouth. So a normal, average-sized mouth, a Rav Revius will be a Maloy Lugmov. That's how the Ran shows from the Gemara. A Rav Revius will be a Maloy Lugmov. So let's say at your wedding, is there a hiddah lechatchila to drink the whole kos? No, you drink a maloy lugmav. On Shabbos, is there a hiddah to drink the whole kos? No, you drink a maloy lugmav maspik. So Tosfos says, when the Gemara says rav kos, it's not really meduyak, it really means you drink a maloy lugmav. So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik explains in the Sefer on the Rambam that the Tosfos seems to be going l'shitasam, that on the opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, Tosfos seems to hold that you don't need that every member of the household should have his own cup of wine. Just like by Kiddush and Avdalah, benching alakos, one person says the bracha alakos, and one person drinks it, everybody's yotze, the bracha alakos. So to on Pesach night, one person, the father of the household, says Kiddush, he says Asher Golan, he says Birchazama, he drinks the wine. He drinks his Maloy Lugmov, and everybody's yotze, the bracha alakos. And then Tosfos says there are others who disagree, and Yesh Lahachmir. That's really the Rambam Shita. The Rambam and the Rif had a girsa in the Gemara that there are two mitzvahs on Pesach night. One mitzvah is to recite four brachas alakos, and another mitzvah is to drink four times a toast. To drink a toast four times. So the toast, everybody has to drink. You're not Yotzei Shemei Koina and drinking a toast. Everybody has to drink their own toast. That's the mitzvah of Cheirus. The Rambam writes two dinim. One din is a din deraisa, one din is a din derabban. B'chol dover darachai v'adam liris esatz mekilu hu yotzim in Mitzrayim. That's a din deraisa. And the Mishnah learns it out from the Pasuk, v'osana hotzim isham. That's the most difficult mitzvah. That's the most difficult thing. To stuff yourself with matzah and morah and abrikosis and eat a korban pesach, not so difficult. But to have the attitude, chai v'adam liris esatz mekilu hu yotzim in Mitzrayim, because that's very hard to have that attitude. There are so many countries in the world, they made revolutions and the slaves went free. So why should we think, why should we think that it's true? But we're supposed to have that attitude on Pesach night. That's very difficult. That mitzvah there, I say, is the most difficult mitzvah on Pesach night, to have that attitude. Then the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah, the Rabbanim b'chol davar dor chayvadim laharas esatzmo, kivu hayatzasayim, to demonstrate, to do actions that indicate that I am a benchor. So the Rambam says we do two things, laharas esatzmo. The one is that we eat the haseba, and the other one is that we drink abrikosis. Free people drink lachaim, slaves are not given intoxicating alcoholic beverages to drink lachaim. So the mitzvah of Arbekosis and the mitzvah of Haseba, according to the Rambam, is one and the same mitzvah of Laharas Hatzmo, the mitzvah of Laharas. So according to the Rambam, if only the father of the household will recite the Kiddush and Asher Gyalana Birchas Amos and Birchas Asher he'll drink the wine. He'll only be it's a one aspect of Abakos of Nemini, one aspect of Brocha Lakos. Tosis holds that's all there is. But the Rama holds that's one aspect. But then there's another aspect in addition to Brocha Lakos. We want to drink L'chaim four times. You have to Chai Barim L'harsus Atzmo to demonstrate Cheres. So for that, everybody has to drink their own wine. You have to drink your own toast. So then, once you say like that, then it makes sense to say that you have to drink Rav Kois, not a Maloy Lugmav. Maloy Lugmav is a different thing. Maloy Lugmav is Hamavarach Tzor Sheyitam. When you're saying a Brocha Lakos, you have to take a little sip. How big a sip? A Maloy Lugmav. In order that the Kos should be Mitzurif to the Brocha. But on Pesach night, where it's a mitzvah to drink yayin, so l'chatchila, the Shulchan Aruch recommends that, Magen Avraham quotes, the Bach recommends you should drink kalakos, and b'dieved, if you drink rovkos, you say ruba kukula. Yeah, where did they get that? The Gemara says rovkos. The Gemara says, when you drink ruba dekasa, rovkos, you say. Where did the Bach get that idea, l'chatchila, you should drink kalakos? So that's based on the Gemara and Chula in the beginning of the second parak, the first daf in the second parak, where the Mishnah says that if you shecht an animal, you have to shecht both the kana and the reshet, the two simonim, and if you shecht a bird, a kosher bird, you have to shecht either the kana or the reshet, one of the two. So the Mishnah says, if you shecht rov kana rov reshet, it's mutter. What do you mean b'dieved? What do you want him to do l'chatchila? That's the din l'chatchila, if you shecht the Rav Kana, the Rav Aveshet. So the Gemara says wrong. The Chatchila, you should really shecht kol HaKana v'kol Aveshet. You shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukula. But b'dieved, if you'd shecht Rav HaKana v'Rav Aveshet, it's good b'dieved. So that grad on that Gemara, that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether that is a Lachatchila deraisa or a Lachatchila derabbanan. The Lev Aryeh has a sefer on Chulin, Lev Aryeh. He was the rabbi in Brod when the Beis Ephraim was a businessman, a balabos in Brod. So the rabbi was the Lev Aryeh. The Beis Ephraim Svarim are more popular than the Lev Aryeh. The Balabos and Svarim are more popular than the Rabbi Sefer. But the Lev Aryeh, not that, was a good Sefer. It used to be a classic, and now nobody looks at it. No one even looks at it. It's a Gevaldige Sefer. So Lev Aryeh points out in the first daf in the second parak in Chulin that there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What do you need the Lev Aryeh? Because the Rashi and Tosfos are not on that daf. The Rashi and Tosfos are 10 dafim earlier. So, and it's not so obvious that it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So he points it, he brings it to your attention that there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos where the ruba kukula by the shchita lechatchila sheshech kula is that a lechatchila deraisa lechatchila derabon. So here by Abba Kaisis you have such a lechatchila. Lechatchila you should really drink rova kolakos according to the Rambam. There's a mitzvah of shtiyas hakos and b'dieved if you have rova kos that would be sufficient. So then in Shulchan Aruch, they have two opinions. What if you have a kos that's gigantic, has 10 reviyas in it? So if you have to drink rova kos, the majority of the whole kos, that's the pashtus. According to Tosfos, you only have to drink maloy lugmav. There's no vart at all. The Gemara says ruba dekasa. Tosfos does mean that. Tosfos says it's lav dafke. Ruba dekasa means maloy lugmav. But according to the Rambam, that there is a din you have to drink kola kos or rova kos. So what if you have a kos hamachzik kama reviyos? So one opinion is you have to drink roiv of the kos literally. And then Mechaber has another opinion, though. Every reviyah shebo, if you have a kos that has 10 reviyahs in it, so every reviyah we treat as if that's a kos b'fnei atzmai. We say if you drink a roiv of the reviyahs, that is a roiv kos. So better is you shouldn't have such a gigantic, if you don't want to drink so much wine, you shouldn't have such a gigantic kos. Take a smaller kos, but you have to make sure that the kos has a reviyas of wine. A lot of people have such a tiny kos. It clearly doesn't have a reviyas. Reviyas is the volume of an egg and a half. Then the chatchila should drink out the whole egg and a half. Many have a chumrah. The Gemara says in brachas, when you're benching, brachas amazon, so the kos shal bracha needs shtifa ba'adach. He's supposed to rinse it on the inside and on the outside. The Magen Avraham says, if you washed the becher last week on Matzoy Shabbos after Havdalah, you put it away in the cabinet, and it's not dirty, nobody used it, and it's not dusty, it's not dirty, then there's no need to rinse it out. And the Sfardim, quote from the Mekubalim, Sfardim are more into Kabbalah than the Ashkenazim, so the Chassidim do this, and the Mekubalim do this. You should rinse it out, even if the cup is clean, you should still rinse it out. So on Pesach night, some tzaddikim have such a practice, they rinse out all the cups, for each one of the arba kaisa, before the first kaisa, before the second kaisa, even though it has their own germs. They're the ones that were drinking the kaisa from before. It doesn't have someone else's germs. But still, you're supposed to rinse out the kaisa for each kaisa bracha. Mm-hmm.
The Gemara there also says that the coast requires muhtar, but we don't do that.
Right, the Gemara has 10 dinim and we only observe 4. So they say in Shulchan Aruch there are chamisha dinim, but they're on a list of 4. So why is it called chamisha? So it says chamisha is a Rashi Tevis, chai mali shtifa hadocha. The 4 dinim, but the Rashi Tevis of the 4 is chamisha. We said the other day when we were learning about Shavuos Heses, there are chamisha chilukim, and it's also the 4 chilukim, the chamisha is a Rashi Tevis of the 4 dinim. No, no, I don't think so. No, I think Tosfos would hold that a Maloi Lugmav is good enough by any Koshal Bracha by Arba Kosis. But if you machma like the other opinion of Tosfos, that's really the Rambam Shita, that if the father of the household drinks, the others are only Yotze the one aspect of Koshal Bracha, but they're not Yotze the aspect of Cheirus. Everyone, Chayvarim Laharis Atzmi Kili Atzmi Tzrayim, each one has to drink his own Arba Kosis, so then you have to drink Lechatchila Kol HaKos and B'diyevet or Roiv HaKos. In the Kiddush, we mentioned that Pesach is Ban Cheiruseinu, and the davening we mentioned Ban Cheiruseinu. Cheirus is a very cherished value by the Jewish people. Jewish people were always in the forefront of fighting for freedom. When Martin Luther King had his march, so all the rabbis were marching with him, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, and further, everybody was marching. When they had the Communist Revolution, all the Jews were fighting for freedom, the American Civil Liberties Union. Always the Jews are always in the forefront fighting for freedom. The Jews, the Jewish community of Pennsylvania were the ones that paid for the Liberty Bell. I'm from Pennsylvania. We paid for the Liberty Bell and has the pasuk on it across from Dror Baritz al Chol Yashver, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. And then the 13 colonies decided to adopt it as the bell was made in Europe, and then it came to America and they broke on the way. And then they adopted it as the symbol of freedom. The Jews are always fighting for freedom, but we have to keep in mind that the real freedom, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the Aseres Hadibros were engraved on the Luchas, Choros al Luchas, Atikri Choros al Cheirus. The real Cheirus is when a person observes Torah Mitzvahs. Otherwise, a person is an Ebed to his Yetzihara. So we assume that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim, wasn't completed until Maimon HaSinah. So that's why the Gemara has a Machloikas. The Mishnah says that the Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim should be by telling a story of contrast. Maschel Begnus and Messiah Mishvach. So the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, what does it mean, Maschel Begnus and Messiah Mishvach? So one opinion is they say, Avadim Hayin al the Farbi Messiah, Yotei No Shem Elokeinu Misham. The other opinion is, no, you have to say, Metchila Ob Dabad Azoi Ho Aviseinu, Vachshe Kevara Hamokim La Vaidosa. So we say both. We say really two Haggadahs. We say both the Haggadah of Rav and the Haggadah of Shmuel. So Bishleim are the Haggadah of Avodim Hayinu VeYotzei Hashem Mitzrayim. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim. But Metchila Obda VeDezora, Hoyu Abseinu Achshe Karvan Makom LaBedosa. That's not Yitzias Mitzrayim. What does it have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the answer is that was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We read in Parshas Shmos that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu day after day after day, 6 days in a row. I think the Medrash says 6 days in a row, or 7 days in a row. I forgot already. And every day the Rabbanu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Want you to go." Negotiate with Parah, and every day gives a different teretz why he doesn't want to go. So, one of the days he says, "Me anoichi, I'm not worthy. I don't know how to speak kvad per kvad losh, and doesn't know how to speak Egyptian. He's not a good politician. He doesn't know how to talk to the kings." And that Baruch Shalom says, "Otiachas hami Mitzrayim tavdin asalakim alohar azeh. I'm not interested just in the political Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's not so significant. Even with all the nisim and flaws, the Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't so significant." The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Gemara of Yitzias Mitzrayim will be when we mekabel Torah Hasina, because Ein Lachalam Bechorin El Mishoisik BaTorah. Person only becomes free when he's mekabel the yoke of Torah Mitzvahs. That's what we say in the Halal. On the Avdecha ben Amosecha pitachta lemoiseira, by becoming an Ebed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how we free ourselves from our shackles. Pitachta lemoiseira, we break open our shackles. There are psukim in Kohelis that say, Ashve cheret shemalkech ben chorin, elo cheret shemalkech Ebed. It's the praises of the country whose king is a ben chorin, and woe unto that country whose king is a slave. What do you mean? What country has a king who's a slave? So the Zohar is quoted as having interpreted the pasuk, Ashrech Eretz, it's the praises of Eretz Yisrael, Shemalkech Ben Chorin, that the king, the official king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives man the ability to free himself. Shemalkech Ben Chorin, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives human beings the ability to become free from their taivus and from their yetzahara. In Eilach Eretz, woe is unto all the other countries, Shemalkech Eved, that the king is a human being who doesn't have self-control over his taivus. So he's addicted to his type. So he's fashklaft, he's an Eved. We emphasize a lot. Kili b'nei Yisrael la'avadim la'avadim la'avadim. We learned in the first parak in Bava Metzia. Poel chozeh b'afilu b'emtzayim, because everyone has to have cheres. Yeah, but cheres means to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be free from one's taivus. You pick up a piece of matzah. Kadosh Uchatz Karpas. We discussed yesterday. That was the other Shia. We didn't discuss. The Tanoi made a din with the Rabbanon that you die. Stam yadayim ashnias hain. The hands are sheni. So therefore, sheni. Minatorik doesn't exist. You can't have the hands that tell me the rest of the body is tohar. In our Torah, a human being can never be a sheni. He can either be, if he's dead, he's avi avos hatuma, and if he's alive, he can be either av hatuma or rishon hatuma. He can't be a sheni. Sheni means it was mekabel tuma from a rishon. Od mekalem or only mekabel tuma from an av. Can't be mekabel tuma from a tolda. That's the first av in Bava Kam. So a human being can never be a sheni l'tuma. So this is a chumre midirabban and a chumre on top of a chumre. The stam yadayim shniyos hein. So sheni is also shlishi b'truma. If by touch with my hands, if you want to eat truma, you have to wash until it's your dime, because your hands are tummy. Even if you want to touch truma, you're not going to eat the truma. I'm not a kohen. I'm not allowed to eat truma. Even to touch truma, you have to be careful to wash your hands in advance, because sheni osa shlishi the truma. If you're going to touch your hands with stam yadayim, you'll pass all the truma. So the din is you have to wash until it's your dime. So then they made another din. It's all dinim d'rabbanan. They made another din d'rabbanan. Kol ha'poisel osa truma metames ha'mashkim lios tchilo. That your daim ashnius, if you touch truma, you'll passel it. So if I touch mashkim, I touch, let's say, water with my hands, I make the water into a rishon l'tuma. How can that be? The hand the sheni makes, when the tuma is transmitted, usually it goes down. The Gemara says on the first daf in Bava Kama, that by tuma, it's all the same, lavka yetzbehem. Whenever the tuma is transmitted, it always has to go down. Taisus over there asked the kasha, it doesn't always go down. You have a din of cherev hareo kecholo. You have a mace as avi avos hatuma. Then if a kli mateches touches the mace, or comes in the oil on mace, it also becomes avi avos hatuma. So you see, it doesn't go down a madrega. So Taisus answers in Bava Kama, that base on the base. Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam interpreted in the Mishnais and Aholos, if you have a cherev hareo kecholo, it won't make another cherev hareo kecholo. It does go down a little bit. True, the cherev harek hacholol is an avi avos hatuma, but it did go down one little bit of a madre. It does go down a notch. So normally that's the klal. By tuma, when it's transmitted, the klal has to be told the same lavka yetzbeb. Tuma has to go down. Here it goes up, the yodai mashnias, and when you touch a mashke, makes it into a tchila, makes it into a rishon. So the Gemara says a whole explanation why they made such a din with Rabban. It breaks all the rules, made such a din. So let's say a person doesn't wash netilas yadayim. He's going to dip some celery into water, and his fingers are going to stick into the water. So the fingers are sheni. He's going to touch the water, makes it into a rishon. The water is going to make the celery into a sheni. Then I'm going to eat the karpas. I'm going to eat the sheni. When I eat it, then there's another din midrabbanon. All din midrabbanon. There's another din midrabbanon. It makes me tummy. That's called tumas hagviya. If I eat ochlim that it may, on the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Ochlim ametame odom. Ochlam HaMashkin can never be an Av HaTumah. They have to be told this. Even if they're in the oil HaMeis, And the Mesas, Aviyah Avos HaTumen, the Echel Mamashkin, become Tomei, they become a Rishon. They don't become an Av HaTumen. Called Av Shein L'Tar B'Mikveh, and an Asa Av HaTumen. Whatever, only other Mikalim have Tar B'Mikveh. Echel Mamashkin have no Tefillah in a Mikveh. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, the last daf in Erevin. Called Av Shein L'Tar B'Mikveh, and an Asa Av HaTumen. So Echel Mamashkin can never be an Av HaTumen. So they can only be a Rishon or below. So a Rishon can't be Metami Odom. So this, the Gemara explains the whole reason why they made such a thing. So if you're going to dip, if you're going to eat, let's say, if I rinsed off some grapes and they have, still have droplets of water, I'm not going to wash until it's your dime before I eat the grapes. So my fingers are shiny, going to be metami the droplets of water on the surface of the grapes, make them into a rishon. The water is going to make the grapes into a shiny. Then when I eat the grapes, it'll make me tummy. I'll become tummy. Then if I want to eat trum, I want to eat kachim, I'll have to go to the mikveh, because I just became, my whole body just became tummy. So rather than have me go to the mikveh, let me wash until it's a dime in advance, so I won't be metami the water won't be metami the grapes won't be metami me when I eat them. So Tosfos' opinion is, on Arvei Pesachim, Tosfos' opinion is that this is all a consideration, b'zman she'beis hamikdash hayakayim, and the people are going to want to eat. That's the bottom Tosfos on Kuf Tezvav and Aleph, called Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim. So this is a consideration, b'zman she'beis hamikdash hayakayim, and someone wants to eat the Korban Pesach, or someone wants to eat Truma, guys are kain. So you have to be careful to wash with Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim, otherwise you're going to make yourself tummy. But b'zman is everybody's tummy anyway, everybody, whoever went to a funeral. We don't have Eifer Poros, everybody's tummy anyway. So why should you wash with Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim? That's Tosfos Shita. And the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds, made a takana the Rabbanon, even though the takana only made sense under those circumstances, takana is still binding b'zman hazeh. And all year long, when you want to eat a Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim, you have to wash until the Siddayim with a bracha. So the Vilna Goyen follows the Rambam. You have to wash until the Siddayim with a bracha for Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim. But in Shulchan Aruch, they say we're not so convinced that the Rambam is right. It's a machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. So we go to Chumrah in both directions. So all year long, you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat the grapes that were rinsed off, that still have the droplets of water on them. It's a Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim. But you don't say a bracha, because according to Tosfos, it'll be a bracha levatola. There's no need for netilas yadayim. According to the Rambam, you have to wash until the Siddayim with a bracha. So the bracha is not miyakim, so we better not say a bracha. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch all year long, and that's what we do on Pesach night. Yiddish folklore, they tell us about, there used to be in Europe yeshuvenikas, Jewish farmers who were very, very pious, but they were not learned at all. So they used to do all kinds of crazy things. So there's a whole literature, like the stories about the Chachmei Chelem. So there's a whole literature about the yeshuvenikas, different style of stuff. Chachmei Chelem did stupid things. The yeshuvenikas did amaratzes digger things. So they had the famous story about the yeshuvenik wash for karpas. He says, Baruch Ato Hashem HaKadam HaKadam HaShekar HaShanam HaSasav HaTzivanu. And then he goes and he's ready to dip the karpas into the soul. So they asked him, what was that all about? He follows the instructions, says you wash your hands, you don't say, Al Netilas Yadayim. So he didn't say the last three words, Al Netilas Yadayim. All the stories like that, they didn't understand. They tell a story about the yeshuvenik got married to the girl, and then there was no minyan. They lived far away from the city, so there was no minyan. So he davened Ma'ariv at home, and he says Kiddush on Pesach night, and he tells his wife, okay, let's start eating the meal. So he says, what do you mean? But I remember my father used to say hallo. My father used to say nishmas. You don't just eat the meal. So he said, what don't you understand? When Pesach falls out of Rosh Chodesh, you say hallo. The Pesach falls out on Shabbos, then you say nishmas. Today's not Rosh Chodesh, not Shabbos, so give me the meal, let's go eat. Let's give it. They have millions of stories about the yeshuvenikas. So the practice on Pesach night, said in Shulchan Aruch, you should wash until it's yadayim without saying the bracha on until it's yadayim. So that most people have the practice all year long, they don't wash for Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim. They don't bother to wash at all. When you have fruits that are rinsed off, you don't wash it all. So the Taz has the famous Taina. Manish Tana Halayla Hazem Mikol Halelos. If on Pesach night we wash without a bracha, that shows that you're supposed to do the same all year long. Mikan Tochachas Megula. You see, from Pesach night everybody does it. Everybody washes without a bracha. So you should do the same all year long. So then it's even his Haggadah comes to defend the Minhag HaOlam. He says, maybe they only wash on Pesach night Zecher LaMikdash. All year long, they really follow Tosfos that you don't need Dovah she'tivula b'mashkim, you don't need until the Siddayim. On Pesach night, we do a lot of things. Zecher HaMikdash. He quotes from the Vilna Goyen, that the Magen Avraham says that the minig is that you wear a kittel by the Seder, because on the Seder you take out the most expensive silver and the most expensive, you have the most expensive everything, dishes and everything is beautiful, it's banche v'seinu. So we're afraid that it'll go to our heads and we may sin, so we better wear a kittel, yaskalo yoy mamisim. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and that's what the Magen Avraham, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If someone is in Avelis anyway, someone is in Avelis, he's based Chodesh, he doesn't need the kittel, because the death is right in front of his eyes, because he's in Avelis for a parent, so he's not going to sin. And the Vilna Gaon says, what are you talking about? That's why you wear a kittel, yaskalo yoy mamisim. He says, no, he thinks that Bizman HaMikdosh, when the people would eat Korban Pesach or Korban Shlomim, whatever they're eating in Yerushalayim, they would wear a chaluk lavon to show that there's something special. They wouldn't wear the regular clothes that they wear all the time, because the Gemara says in Tainus Daf Yud Aleph, "B'meshimish Moshe kol shivas yimei amilun." Aaron HaKohen started doing the avoda on the Yom Hashmini, Amish Chodesh Nisan. Who did the avoda the first 7 days? Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he wear? So the Gemara assumes Big Dekuni he doesn't wear. Big Dekuni is La Aaron Olavana. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Aaron Olavana. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Koyin. Maybe he had a Din Koyin Gadol, the Medrash says, but he didn't wear Big Dekuni. The Gemara says he must have worn Chaluk Lavan. So the Vilna Gaon thinks, just like the Gemara says he must have worn Chaluk Lavan, you have to wear something. So the thing is, the same is probably true, that when they ate the Korban Pesach, when they ate Korban Shlomim, in Yerushalayim, they probably also wore a Chaluk Lavan. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that the kittel is a zechel amigdosh, that in days of the Mesa Migdosh, they used to wear the chaluk lavan. That's why, according to the Vilna Gaon, even one is an avela should also wear a kittel. But the minig is not so. The minig is, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah, that one is an avela doesn't wear a kittel, because we really adopt the position of the Magen Avraham, that the kittel is yaskalo yoy mamisa.
Doesn't that mean the kittel should be made out of wool? Right, the Gemara says Moshe
Moshe
made
in a white
tzemer, right?
No, ours is not made from tzemer. Yeah,
so
something different. No, I don't think.
What's the reason?
Yeah.
What's the reason?
Because on Pesach 9, Zman Chereseinu, we use the most, the fanciest silver and the fanciest plates and everything. So afraid. The riches may get to our mind and get to our heads, and we may sin. So we should remember that we're only human beings, and so called Adam Lamus, so we shouldn't sin. So the Netziv comes to defend this minig, that all year long we really hold like Taisvis. Now Pesach Navi, Washington, says, I'm just Echel Amig. That's why several of the German Achrayim write that the minig only was that the father of the household would wash until he died for Karpas, the rest of the members of the household would not. Because only the father of the household wears a kittel. Zechel Migdosh is enough. One person does a Zechel Migdosh. You don't need it. Everyone should do.
So do we hold by that minhag or no? But not to wash for...
No, more correct is you should wash all year long. For a Dovash and Tavula B'mashke without a bracha, like the Taz said. And on Pesach night, everybody, the whole family, should wash with the Dovash and Tavula B'mashke. So then the Gemara says, but once you're ready, washed for Kaddish Urchatz Karpas, once you wash for the Karpas, going to dip the Karpas into the salt water. So what are you washing again? Rachza. What do you wash again before Hamoitzi? The Gemara says, because if you have Hesach Hadas. That's the Gemara, because Asuchi Dilma, Asuchi Asach Daita Minei, that's on Kuf Tezvav Amidei. So that was the Machlek, it's Tezvus, Rabbi Yosef Tuvelam. What do you mean? Hesach Hadas from eating, or Hesach Hadas from Shmiris Ayadayim? That was the Machlek that we spoke about. Yeah, how much karpas do you have to eat? How much karpas do you have to eat? So the... In the Rambam, it says you have to eat a kazais. Now, Goes Mami on the bottom of the page quotes the Maharam Rutmerk. He thinks that that's a misprint in the Rambam, because you look 20 lines later when the Rambam says you have to eat maror, he never said you have to have a kazais. So it must be that that line, you need a kazais, belongs by the maror. By maror, the Mishnah says on Lamates, we saw yesterday, you have to have a kazais of maror. But karpas is not a mitzvah sachila. Why should anybody think that you need a kazais? Taisvus had the machlokes with the Rabbi Yosef Tuvelam. What is the role of the karpas? Rabbi Yosef Tuvelam was of the opinion that the karpas is in order to say bar pri hadoma, to cover the brocha and the morah. That we said before, the morah is not dvar mahaboy machmas asur. It doesn't really fit in. Who eats bitter food in the middle of the meal? It's not filling. So you really should say Bar Pi Adam and the Morah, but he gives a whole reason why you don't say two brachas on the same thing. So you say Bar Pi Adam and the Karpas, you have in mind to cover the Morah. And Taisa said that's not going to work, because the Gemara said there's a Hesach Hadas. There's a hesach hadas between the karpas and the eating of the meal. So you can't say the bar piadam is going to cover the mora latest. The Torah says, no, hamoitzi covers the mora. It's dvar haboy machmas hasuda. So in Shulchan Aruch, they present it like this. If you're going to have a kazayis of karpas, according to Tosfos, you have a hesach hadas, you're going to have to say bar nefashas. If you say bar piadam on vegetables before you start a meal, and you plan to continue eating vegetables in the middle of the meal after the hamoitzi, so then you don't have to say bar nefashas, because you ate vegetables before you're going to eat vegetables in the middle of the meal, and the benching is going to cover not only the vegetables in the middle of the meal, it will cover also the vegetables before. But if you ate vegetables before and you had a hesach hadas, and the bar piadama from before doesn't cover the vegetables in the middle of the meal, then you got to say bar nefashas after the vegetables before, because the benching doesn't pop the bar nefashas. So that's why they recommend in Shulchan Aruch that you should have bedavka less than a kazayis of karpas. Everyone should have in mind when they say bar piadama, the karpas, this should cover the maror, to satisfy the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. This is quotes, Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim wrote piyutim. So that's the piyut that they say in some shuls. Years ago they used to say it all over. The Bala Ataisa said it. That's the piyut that you say on Shabbos HaGadol. You go to all the dinim of Hilchas Pesach. The later Rishonim wrote pirushim on these piyutim of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. There are several pirushim on the piyut of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim, because it goes to all the dinim of Pesach, all Hilchas Pesach, and all the dinim of the Seder. So so they all said that piyut. So we want to satisfy his opinion that the bar piadam on the karpas is to cover the mor in the middle of the meal, but according to Taisu's argument, it's a hesach hadas, it won't cover the mor in the middle of the meal, so he better not eat a kazai. He's going to eat a kazai, it's going to be a hesach hadas. The Magen Avraham says that the karpas is called yirokas in the Mishnah, so it's supposed to be a green vegetable. A lot of people like to take potatoes. There was a famous Talmud Chacham, a prominent Talmud Chacham here in America. He wanted to teach the Balabatim 70 years ago that bananas is ha'adama. Even though bananas grow on a tree, it's not ha'etz, that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether bananas is ha'etz or not, because the whole tree collapses at the end of the season, then the whole thing grows back again. The roots remain from year to year, but the branches don't remain. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether that's ha'etz or ha'adama. So misafik we say huadama. So one of the rabbis years ago wanted to educate the Balabatim that bananas are huadama. So he used to invite them little by little to eat by his seder, and they used bananas for karpas, to dip the bananas into salt water. Maybe for educational purposes it's a smart idea, but the Magen Avraham says that the karpas is supposed to be yarokas, supposed to be green vegetables. So the minhag always was, the Magen Avraham quotes a Yerushalmi, the minhag always was that you use petrozel, you use parsley. Parsley, we never eat parsley. Parsley you use to cook in the soup to give a flavor to the soup. That's a shaila. They really say bar piadam on a vegetable no one ever eats all year long. You just use it as a flavoring in the soup. So in addition to the parsley, or maybe instead of the parsley, you should have some other green vegetable. Okay. So have celery. You shouldn't use lettuce. Gemara says, l'chatchid, you shouldn't use the same vegetable that you're going to use for maror, the karpas, because then it's going to be an asik. You got to say alachilas mora before you eat the karpas, even though you have in mind not to be yotzi. So you shouldn't use lettuce. And we said the other day that the Mishnah Lamatesim Adaf lists off the five vegetables that are acceptable for mora in descending order of importance. The first one is chazeres. So Rashi writes lettuce. So we know that in the days of the Tanoim, iceberg lettuce didn't exist in Eretz Yisrael. So they're clearly talking about what we call today romaine lettuce. But many rabbanim hold, many poskim hold that the iceberg lettuce is the same thing. You yotze it with regular lettuce also, if you use it for more. It doesn't have to be romaine lettuce. Others hold not. It has to be dafke romaine lettuce. So you shouldn't use lettuce either for the karpas. You should use some green vegetable that's bar pi adama. If the people, let's say, are starving and they want to eat the potatoes, so give them to hay. Let them keep on nibbling on potatoes so they can see to it that there won't be a hesach hadas. When the children are going to give all of these gematrios and the Rashi Tevis and all the pilpulim, so let the starving people keep on nibbling on potato kaseda. You can see to it that there won't be a hesach hadas. Taisa says hesach hadas means if you don't continue to eat. Those who want to eat a lot, those who want to eat a kazai, so they should make sure that there's no hesach hadas. They should keep on eating.
Starting, who holds just there's no hesach hadas between the first cup and the second cup, and wake one bracha. So wouldn't it make sense that there's not going to be something also by karpos, and if, even if they have a kizayis, there's no hands on the basket in the whole meal?
Right.
Why does Shulchan recommend that having less than kizayis? And though he says to make one bracha.
Yeah, that's from the Maharam Rutenberg. Yeah, he's quoting Maharam Rutenberg. That's Ashkenazim. That's not for the Sephardim. You're right. That's only for the Ashkenazim. Yeah.
Okay.
If you have Cheerios or Wheaties, that you, it's not normal to eat it with your fingers when it has the milk in it. So then you don't have to wash it. That's not called davshet to
the mashke. You know, people kind of like push the cereal in all the time, close over. People like
usually push it in with the spoon, I think. No, I always push my Cheerios in with the spoon.
Okay.
But if you have a thing that, let's say you have grapes that were rinsed off and there are droplets of water. So the normal way to eat grapes is with your fingers. I don't want to wash until it's up, so I'm going to eat the grapes with a fork. That's not normal. So even though you're not touching the water, since the normal way to eat grapes is with your fingers, so that has the din of davashet devil mashke. But if the nature of the food is such that you never, your fingers are nowhere near the thing, you always eat it with a spoon, like a breakfast cereal, so then it's not
people are dipping in the salt water, so bedakka, they're going to be using a fork. Most people would take a fork to dip into the salt water, no? Are they dipping the karpas in?
Potatoes.
How many people take
pork,
their fingers? Especially if it's pachas mikazayas, it's hard to hold and dip in the water and your finger.
No, you take a big piece, you only nibble a pachas mikazayas. You eat the rest later. Eat the rest in the middle of the meal.
A potato would be something that you usually eat with pork, no? Those
probably, yeah. Right.
Potatoes, do you get, if you have your use of potatoes, karpas, you just get rid of rachas?
It's a good taina. It's a good taina. You're not supposed to use potatoes. You're supposed to use a green vegetable. That's another reason why you shouldn't use potatoes, because then there's no urchats. Okay? So if kadosh urchats karpas, then you have yachats. We spoke about yachats the other day, that we learn out from the pasuk lechem oni, that it should be madakri shalani beprusa, it should be a broken matzah. And we learn out from the word oni, lechem shalani malav dvar m'habi, you say the whole CPCS Mitzrayim with the broken matzah exposed. So we, our practice is we have yachats before we start magid. Right before we start magid, that it should be lechem shalani malav dvar m'habi. The Rambam does not have it like that. This is an Ashkenazi seder. The Rambam said he has yachats right before you're about to say Hamoitzi. You have Lecha Mishnah, two Shlemas. The Rambam doesn't have three. The Rambam starts off with two. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik had that practice. They followed the Minig of Alojin. Minig of Alojin, they followed the Vilna Gaon and followed the Rambam and the Rif. You only start off with two matzahs. So before, you wash until it's your daim. And then before you're about to say Hamoitzi, you break one of the matzahs. So you won't have Lecha Mishnah, two Shlemas. You'll only have one and a half. That's a Din of Prusa. You should not have Lecha Mishnah Tu Shlema. So the Rambam has Yachatz only when you're about to say Hamoitzi Alachilas Matzah. But we don't follow that. We have Yachatz before Magid, and the Marami Prague explained why. Because Lechem Shoyne Mol Dvarim Harbe should be the Lechem Oini, that it should be the Prusa. So we lift up the Matzah and we say, Holach Magid, the Acholo Avasan of the Yara de Mitzrayim. Matzah represents two opposite things. Matzah is the Lechem Oini, what they used to serve to the slaves. And matzah is also the symbol of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We say later, so the matzah represents the cherus. The same matzah represents abdus and it represents cherus. So we lift up the matzah and we say, this represents the abdus. We express our appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only for the Yitzias Mitzrayim, for the cherus, we express our appreciation for the Abdus, because the Torah tells us that Mitzrayim was called the Kur HaBarzel, Mitzrayim. Just like if you have iron, you want to purify it, so you put it through a burning hot oven to make it into steel. So too, our stay in Mitzrayim functioned like a Kur HaBarzel to purify the Jewish people, to make us into a nation. That's the whole Novi Yecheskel describes. People have a baby, you deliver the baby and you cut the umbilical cord and then you tie it and then you wash off the baby and then you put on oil, then you put on powder, then you put on a diaper, then when the baby gets a little older, you put on shoes. So the Novi Yechesko describes every stage of taking care of the baby. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and he treated us like a baby. We became a nation in Mitzrayim. So we have to express our gratitude to HaKadosh, or we have to thank the Rebbe Shlomo that he took us out of Egypt. He was the one who put us into the predicament. So what do we thank him? Thank you very much. No, we thank him for putting us into Mitzrayim, because the Golus Mitzrayim functioned, acted like a Kura Barzal for the Jewish people. We thank him for being there, and we thank him for taking us out and giving us the Cheirus. So we declare Hashata Hocha L'Shana Bo B'Yardi, so Hashata Abdi L'Shana Bo B'nei Chorin. We are celebrating it. We are telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is the relevance of Yetzias Mitzrayim? After Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was another Golus and another Gula and another Golus and another Gula. And there was another pogrom, and we were spared from that. There were always pogroms. So why do we tell over this story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's not relevant anymore. We should talk about Hakamas HaMedina. We should talk about the Nazis killed so many Jews, millions of Jews, and then we were spared at the end of the war, the Jewish people, some were Nitzel, then we had a Medina. What do we tell the story about Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's an ancient history. It's not relevant anymore. So we say, no. When we daven Ma'ariv, we say, the Rebbe Shlom took us out to be forever free. How is it forever free? It's not true. The Jews were slaves to the Nazis. The Jews were slaves in many different countries, the different nationalities. There were always pogroms. So the answer is, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the attitude of freedom was ingrained within the Jewish psyche in such a way, even when we were suffering under the Nazis, even when the Jews suffered all the pogroms, they always had the attitude, we are the Aman Ifchar, and we feel that B'nai Chorin. They suffered a lot, but they felt they were B'nai Chorin. So we say, we're going to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We plan, we're still in Golos, L'shan Abba B'yaradis, or L'shan Abba B'nai Chorin. We are already B'nai Chorin. The Yetzias Mitzrayim helped us, L'cheir Zolom, it freed us forever. That was a Geula. All the others were Yeshua. There was a tzara with Hanukkah, there was a tzara with Purim, all the different tzaras, so there was a Yeshua. The only two that are called Geula was Geulas Mitzrayim was a Geula, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it himself. Ani hu v'lo yasholech, ani hu v'lo yacher. Whenever there's a Geula, the Rebbeinu Shalom does it. A Geula means a Yeshua for the Jewish people that leaves a lasting impression that'll never be wiped off. So that was the Geula in Mitzrayim, and the Geula Hasidah. On Pesach night, we celebrate, we talk about the Gulas Mitzrayim, and we talk about the Gulu Hasida. Why about the Gulu Hasida? Because when HaKadosh Baruch appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he said to him, Eke Asher Eke, so Rashi quotes, what does it mean? What does the Shem Hashem mean? That's one of the Zayin Shem Sheinim Chokim. Eke Asher Eke, what does it mean? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Eye Moim Mitzora Zu, Eye Moim Lasid Lava, there'll be a Gulu Hasida. So the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to be with the Jewish people now through Golus Mitzrayim, he's going to redeem them, and he promised there's going to be a Gulu Hasidah, at which time all of mankind will be redeemed. That'll be the tachlis of the whole Bria. The Baruch Shalom made a miracle that he created a world. What did he create such a ridiculous world for? He created Yesh Me'ayin, a miracle. We can't even understand, can't conceive of it. What does it mean, Yesh Me'ayin? And then the whole world is ready to self-destruct. Everybody's at war, and everybody's killing everybody else, and nothing is working out. So we believe that Lasi Lava, one of the Ikar Hamud, we believe there's going to be Bias HaMashiach, when we will see that the whole world has a Tachlis. There is a Tachlis to the Bria. The Gemara has a cloud. The Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't do a Nes for no good reason. So what did he make the Nes of Bria Shamayim V'Oretz for? There's no good reason. The answer is no. We assume there will be a Gula Hasidus. So this was told to Moshe Rabbeinu before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So on Pesach night, we celebrate the Geula from Mitzrayim, even though there were so many other tzoris and so many other golios and so much other suffering, but the Geula from Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was L'cheir Zolom. That left an indelible imprint on the Jewish people. Ki avadehem lo yavarem lavarem. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything was different. It was illegal. In Mitzrayim, we were legally avarem to Paro. And Makkas Bechoris occurred, so the Midrashim saying, Paro made an official declaration, he's freeing the Jewish people. He went around to declare, until now you are my avodim, you are no longer my avodim. And all the other tzoris, there was a Yeshua, it wasn't a Gula. But we were told, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, there'll be another Gula Hasida. There's going to be another Gula Lasi Lav. Only the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to do that Gula. That's why in the Haggadah we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Because when you have a Yeshua, so the Yeshua is always brought about by Bas of Adam. So Allah Nisim, you mentioned the Imar Ba'etcha V'Yester, and Allah Nisim on Chanukah, you mentioned Matisyo's name. Whenever there's a Yeshua, you mention the name of the Bas of Adam, who was the Shliach of the Rabban Shalom. But by Yitzias Mitzrayim, Anihu V'loya Shliach, there was no Shliach, so we bedafka leave out Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Some have a meaning, you do mention a Pasuk that has Moshe Rabbeinu's name, but it's only casually mentioned. It's not really, it doesn't have a prominent place at all, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the main spokesman over here. We want to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the whole thing. It was a gula. And Lo Asid Lover also. That's why we say, Nishmas Kochai Tevorach Hashim Hashem Alakeinu. Nishmas Kochai means all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the shir that we're going to sing Lo Asid Lover when we'll have the gula Hasidim. See, that's Taisus in Arvei Pesachim points out. Taisus quotes a medrash that all of the shir in Tanakh there are 10 shiras, 9 lisha over that already took place, and the 10th one is going to be Lo Asid Lover. So the 9 that took place in the past, one is shiras Hayam, one is shiras Haber, one is shiras Dvaira. You look through Tanakh, there are 9 different shiras. So all of the 9 that were lisha over are shira Baloshin Nekeva, and Lo Asid Lover it's going to be a shir Baloshin Zohar. What's the difference between a shira and a shir? So Tosfos quotes from the Medrash, a woman has a baby, so that's wonderful. The husband is marvelous. He wasn't throwing up. He wasn't nauseous. He was healthy for 9 months, no problem. His wife has a baby. He's dancing from joy. And the wife is ready to drop dead. She was suffering. So shira, losh in the keva, is to be happy about, but it's like in a keva. Like a woman has a baby, she's half dead. Losh in love is going to be a shir. There won't be any more tzaras after that. That'll be a shir b'loshen zachar. Everybody will be dancing from joy because there won't be any other tzaras. So when we say mizma shir l'yoyim ha-shabbos. So the Mishnah says mizma shir l'asid lavoi l'yom shekul ha-shabbos menuch l'chai ha-alam. How did the Tanoim know that mizma shir l'yoyim ha-shabbos goes on l'asid lavoi? Because it says shir. If it would have said shiro, it'd be one of the shiras in the pit. Whenever it says shir, every so often there's a perek in Tehillim that says shir, mizma shir. Others say shir also. Whatever it says a shir, the Medrash says that it's a reference to Allah said love. That's a question we say before we start saying halal on Pesach night. They say menayim alafan of shira chadasha haluluka halu avdei Hashem. So in Shulchan Aruch they discuss what do you mean menayim alafan of shira chadasha Allah said love. We will sing shira chadasha. No, you should say v'noyim alafan of shir chadash. And if you want to say shir chadasha, so you shouldn't say v'noymar. You should say v'ne'mar. Loshen over. It was said. So that's what the Chok Yankov says. You have to make up your mind. If you want to say the nusach shir chadasha, you shouldn't say v'noymar b'loshen over. So you say v'ne'mar. And we're saying halal was recited at that time in the pith. If you want to say loshen over v'noymar, then you should say shir chadash. So the Brisker Rav says no. We don't mean v'noyma losid lover, v'noyma now. We say b'chol dar v'dar chayv v'adam liris esatz men kilu hayatzim in Mitzrayim. In every generation, this is the most difficult mitzvah deraisa. You have to have the attitude as if you just left Mitzrayim. L'fichach hanach l'chayovim l'halel. You're obligated to recite halal b'shas ha-yeshua, halal b'shas ha-nes. If you just experience Yitzias Mitzrayim tonight, as if he just left Mitzrayim. So then you're obligated to recite halal. So we say, v'noyim alefonav, we're going to say tonight, shira chadasha. This is not the gulu hasida. We're not holding yet by the gulu hasida. The world is full of machlokes and full of wars and so on. Everybody's killing everybody else. V'noyim alefonav doesn't mean we will say lo asid lavo. We're going to say now, halal b'shas ha-yeshua. That's what the Netziv points out. There are 3 kinds of halal. There's halal b'shas ha-nes. That's learned out from Parshas Oz Yashir. That's a din deraisa. Whenever you experience a Yeshua, you're obligated menater to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say halal. Then there's halal zechel nes on Chanukah every year in commemoration of the nes Chanukah. So the Gemara is beferish that that's midirabbanon. The Chasam Sofer writes in his Shuvas that halal on Chanukah is deraisa. So the Netziv disagrees. He says with all the respect, Agoyin Matzadik HaChasam Sofer, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish in Brochas Daf Yedalad. Halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanon. Then there's a third halal on Yontif as an expression of Simchas Yontif. That's a machlekes, the Bahag and the Rambam, where the halal on Yontif is the Raisa the Rabbanon. But there are 3 different kinds of halal. Halal B'Shas HaYeshua, Halal Zecha Li Yeshua, and Halal of Simchas Yomtiv. So on Pesach night, when we say Halal, it's not V'noim Alefanov, we will say in the future. If you talk about the Gula Hasidah, we would have said Shir Chadosh. And it's not V'ne'emar, that Halal was recited in the past. No, B'chol Dovidar Chayvarim Lir Sassatzmal, Kilu Huyatzma Yitzan, L'fich Hanach Nahayavim, L'Halal. We're obligated to recite Halal, this is the Halal B'Shas Hanes. Halal B'Shas HaYeshua. So we say, we are going to say now, Shira Chadosha. We're going to say the Shira Chadosha right now. We plan to say, Nishmas Kol Chai, all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Losid Lovai, when the Gula Hasidah will take place. But the Gula Hasidah will only take place when all of mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, there are many nationalities in the world who don't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the Yavdei Avodah Zarah, they don't want to accept the one God in heaven. So that's why we offer a prayer before we finish the Halal. We say Shvacham, we say the Psukim from Tilim. Shvachamas Chalogem HaShaloi Yedoucha. It's not fair. Rabbanu Shalom, you're holding up the Gula Hasidah because of these, the minorities. Wipe them off the face of the earth, and we'll have all of mankind will recognize Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he'll bring the Gula Hasidah. So we pray to him. It's not fair that the Gula Hasidah should be held up because of these nations that don't want to recognize you. The Shvach HaMoscha is the introduction to the Nishmas Kol Chai. Nishmas Kol Chai, we're saying the day will come, then all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nishmas Kol Chai means even all the nations of the world will all recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah in Psachim says that there's a specific form how CPS in Mitzrayim should be fulfilled. You can't just tell the story to your children the way you please, or you can't just read Shmos Ve'era by B'Shalach, just read from the Chumash. The Mishnah says they made a takonim of the Rabbanim Islam. It's not a dinder, right? They made a takonim of the Rabbanim. You should recite Arami Avidavi V'Dorsho. You should recite the Psukim and darshan them. Why Dafka Arami Avidavi? What's wrong? Isn't it better to say Shmos Ve'era by B'Shalach? So the Pashtus is, Rav Soloveitchik thought, the Pashtus is, that Shmos Ve'era by B'Shalach just tells the story. Arami Avidavi, Rashi writes on Chumash, V'yamarta lefnei Hashem Lakech, Arami Avidavi, V'yanisa v'yamarta lefnei Hashem Lakech. So Rashi writes, V'yanisa v'yamarta, She'en chakof v'yitoyva. You should express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the farmer has his bikurim and he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, he should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything worked out well. So apparently the Tanoim felt that the Sipet Tzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night should be in the form of expressing HaKadosh HaTayv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, let's pick Arami Avirovi. Those psukim are an expression of HaKadosh HaTayv. And then they made the takana that we should fulfill Sipet Tzias Mitzrayim Derech Talmud Torah by reciting Psukim from Chumash and combining drushes of Torah Shebal Peh with the Torah Shebichsav. So we take every phrase in the four Psukim, Arami Avirovi and so on, and we give a running commentary of the Torah Shebal Peh on those Psukim. So before we begin to fulfill Sipit Tzias Mitzrayim, so we recite Brichas HaTorah, Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu. Why do we need another Birchas HaTorah? When we woke up in the morning, we said Birchas HaTorah. And Tosfos says the Birchas HaTorah covers you through the whole day. Tosfos in the end of the first parak in Bracha says there is no Hesach Hadas from learning. Even when a person goes to college, he goes to work, then he comes back, he learns night Seder, he doesn't have to say another Birchas HaTorah. Most follow the opinion that even if he took a nap in the afternoon, you don't say another Birchas HaTorah. The only guy holds, if you took a long nap, you say a Birchas HaTorah. That constitutes Hesach Hadas. So why all of a sudden now? Why do you need another Birchas HaTorah before you're about to recite Arami Avirovi? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Hagos Maimon, he quotes that Rashi's practice would be, Rashi always came to shul early, Shachris, probably came to shul early for Mincha Ma'ariv also. But he came to shul early, Shachris, and he was sitting and learning. And he said Birchas HaTorah before he started to learn. Then when the tzibur showed up in the shul, and they were all going to recite Ezel Mekar Mishal Zvachim and Karbonis, so that would constitute Talmud Torah B'tzibur. When Rashi was learning on his own before the minyan was there, that was Talmud Torah B'yochid. When everybody showed up, they're not going to learn as much as Rashi, they're just going to learn Ezel Mekayma. So that's going to be a new kiyum, a new form of Talmud Torah, namely Talmud Torah B'tzibur. So Rashi said another Birchas HaTorah. He said Birchas HaTorah all over again. Why? So the Mahagos Maimoni quotes this. Apparently Rashi was of the opinion that whenever you said Birchas HaTorah and you're learning, but now you have to, now you're fulfilling a new form of Talmud Torah, so then you got to say another Birchas HaTorah. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch a little bit, not exactly what Rashi. It says a person comes to shul late on Monday or Thursday or Shabbos and he says Birchas HaTorah, and then they call him up for an aliyah. He just said Birchas HaTorah 2 minutes ago. So it says nonetheless, when he gets to aliyah, he has to say again Birchas HaTorah. Why? Because the Birchas HaTorah that he said covers the Talmud Torah that he does. But when you get an aliyah, that's a specific new form of Talmud Torah. Dafke Talmud Torah of Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas HaShavua. You can't just lay whatever you please. You have to lay the aliyah of the Parshas HaShavua. So since there's a specific new form of Talmud Torah that you have to do, that's why the din requires a new Birchas HaTorah. So we don't follow Rashi's practice. If we would be learning Be'echidus and then a minyan shows up, we learn Talmud Torah B'tzibah, we would not do like Rashi. We wouldn't say Birchas HaTorah again. But on Pesach night, here it's a din. The din requires that you have to fulfill Sipi Yetziyas, din midirabbanan probably. You have to fulfill Sipi Yetziyas Mitzrayim in the form of combining Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh. You have to recite Davka, these four psukim, Arami Avidavi, and you have to give the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's how the Mishnah says, V'dorsha. He wrote Kari Arami Avidavi, V'dorsha. So because it's a new specific form of Talmud Torah, that's why the Rishonim say, that's why you need a new Birchas HaTorah. Baruch Shanas and Torah L'Amisol Baruch Hu. Then we emphasize that unlike other nations in the world, that they only send their genius children to college and to graduate school. But the Jewish people we have, we want to have education for all. The Russia we're throwing out, we're not going to give him any, he doesn't want to keep mitzvah, so we're not going to teach him Torah. But the Chacham and the Tam and any of their Lishol, we don't only educate the Chacham. We educate the Tam, we educate any of their Lishol, Kalechot V'yechot, Ketfi Madre Gosai. The Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be in the form of Talmud Torah. So he's supposed to teach Talmud Torah to all of the children. Some of the Mefarshim point out, why do we say Echad Chacham, Echad Rosh, Echad Tam, Echad Shein? What do you mean? One is this. Say, can I get up Babam to Chacham Rosh, Tam, Eni Delish? Why do you say Echad? Each one is different. Each one is unique. That's what it says in Mishlei. You're not supposed to give all the children the same style of education. Each child is different. Each human being is different. So each one has to have a different style of education. So you have to have Echad Chacham, Echad Tam, Echad Sheinei Deir Lishol. Each one is different. You should give each one a different form of Liman HaTorah. Why, when the Chacham asks, Mohaedus v'achukim ha'mishpatim, so we tell him, Im aftirnach ha'pesach ha'fikayman. What about all the other dinim? Ha'pesach matzah morah. So several of the Mefarshim point out that other girsas have the word ad added on. Afatar ma'alok, yilchus ha'pesach ad, Im aftirnach ha'pesach ha'fikayman. That's the last mission in the Masechta. You should teach them from the beginning to the end, from A to Z, ad, Im aftirnach ha'pesach ha'fikayman. By us, it's not the last Mishnah, because we have the last Mishnah broken up into two Mishnahs. So that's on Kuf Chav, and then there's another Mishnah on Kuf Chav Aleph. But in the big Mishnah, it's all one big Mishnah. In Maftirnach HaPesach HaFikayman, with the next one, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, it's all one Mishnah. They're supposed to teach the children all the dinim.
Person
be
focused on
Yitzhak
to say the story of
Yitzhak Mitzrayim,
or to say
Hochos Pesach. No, more important is to say Yitzhak Mitzrayim, to tell over the story. The Tosefta is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that if a person learns Hilchos Pesach, it's also a fulfillment of Sipi Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But first you have to say everything that it says in the Haggadah, then try to say a little extra about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and then if there's more time, so then you learn Hilchos HaPesach.
It's too much nice.
Two Mishnahs, okay. But it's supposed to be one Mishnah. So that's why they have Ad. You should say up until and including the last Mishnah. When is this man for Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Baal HaGadah quotes from the Mechilta, Yochel Mir Rosh Chodesh. Why would I think the mitzvah can be fulfilled any time starting from Rosh Chodesh on? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated HaChodesh HaSalachem Rosh Chodoshim. Nisan is the Chodesh HaGeulah, B'Nisan Nigal, B'Nisan Asirim Ligal. Nisan represents Hanhagav l'mayla min ha-teva. Tishrei represents Hanhagav teva, and Nisan represents Hanhagav l'mayla min ha-teva. So one might have thought, we don't say Tachnan the whole month of Nisan. So one might have thought the whole month of Nisan is in a certain sense, a celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole month is called Chodesh HaGeulah. So one might have thought that min ha-Torah, any time in the month you can fulfill a mitzvah. Tamalema b'yomahu. No, it's only one specific day. Which is the one specific day? So one might have thought, Yochel Mibod Yom, one might have thought, if you that's how Rab Chaim interprets, one might have thought, if you Moisev Mechoel Al HaKodesh, you can begin the Seder Mibod Yom, like on a regular Shabbos Yontif. You Mekabel Yontif Shabbos Yontif early, you say Kiddush, so you would think you can fulfill the mitzvah. So it says, no, Babazeh Lamata B'shosh Eish Matzamor, Menachem Lofanecho, and Tosfos says in the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach until Laila Vachas HaBasa Ba'Laila Zeh. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah until the middle of the night. Be'erev Tochel Matzah. So Tosefus doesn't help for that. That's why you have to tell Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim Ba'Laila. Because you can only fulfill Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim in conjunction with the mitzvah Ha'Laila. Mitzvah Ha'Laila can't be fulfilled in this man of Tosefus. Then we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem HaHavtochas Al Yisrael, Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Haftocha that is going to take care of the Jewish people. They made a bris bein apsorim. The Ramban writes on Chumash that a bris is a shvua. Whenever there's a bris, means that you made a shvua. And a shvua means, I'll call upon him. That it's not contingent on anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the Jewish people. We were descendants from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So we had Schus Avos. But the Gemara says that Schus Avos only goes so far. Let's say sometimes I have a student in my shiur whose father was in my shiur. Or sometimes I have a student whose father used to learn with me b'chavrus. So before I even begin the year, I have a natural liking towards that student, because he has a school service, because I was friendly with his parents, or sometimes with his grandparents. Friendly with the grandparents, or therefrom. But the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that the school service only lasts so long. So the Gemara, Tosfos comments on that Gemara, Masechah Shabbos, middle of Shabbos, around Daf Nun Hey, so that by now already the Schus Avos wore off. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that was so many generations ago, and their descendants have violated every law on the book, and we have angered our Kodesh Baruch Hu so much that the Schus Avos wore off already. The only reason why we're still around is because of the Bris Avos. The Baruch Hu made a Bris, and a Bris is a Shvua, and a Bris in the Shvua means I'll call upon him. Not contingent on our acting properly. Even if you don't act properly, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to take care of us. So that's why we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Shem HaHavtochosei. He made a Haftocha to the Jewish people, namely by the Bris Ben Absar. He's going to take care of the Jewish people. And then we add on, V'hi Shom Delav Haseinu, V'hi Losh in the Cave, as a reference back to the Haftocha. That Bris and that Haftocha is what keeps us going, because in every generation there's always anti-Semitism. And because of that bris service, because of that haftocha, that's why we keep on going. Then we comment, we give drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh on the psukim of Arami Yavirovi. Anti-Semitism began even before Yitzias, even before Shibud Mitzrayim. Lovin Bikish Laka Sakol. Lovin was a bigger anti-Semite than Parah was. That's how our tradition has it. Arami Yavirovi. Lovin Arami wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu, and that would be the end of the Jewish people. So we have the running commentary on the four psukim. So we mentioned Vahisham Lagoy Malam Shahisam Mitsuyanim Sham. The Jewish people were standing out. The Medrash says that the Jews were violating all the mitzvahs and mitzvahim. Halalo Abde Abedazar, Halalo Abde Abedazar. The Jews were worshipping Abedazar. But we fulfilled the nationalistic mitzvahs. Shiloshina Shmam Lashina Malbusham. We spoke Dafke Loshana Kodesh. Yiddish, they spoke Yiddish, and they wore big day, they wore Beged Ivri, they wore whatever, they wore begodim that indicated that they were Jewish, and they had Jewish names. These are more. In Api Alacha, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha is more important than these mitzvahs. But historically, if you're living among the Goyim, so the nationalistic mitzvahs are more important to maintain your identity, that you shouldn't disappear. You shouldn't be absorbed into the culture of the Goyim. So true, the Jews were worshiping Avodah Zarah, but they were Mitzuyanim Sham. They were standing out. They were they maintained their own individual identity. Then the Balagoda comments on the psukim. It says Vayareu oisono hamitzvah. It doesn't say Vayareu lono. What does it say? Vayareu oisono. Vayareu lono would have meant that they were mean to us. Vayareu oisono means that they said that we were bad. So we quote the pasuk. They were choshed that we were not loyal, faithful citizens. They said, the Jews are going to rebel. The Jews will be the first ones to rebel against the government. So that's why it says, Vayareu oisono. Vayanunu. It doesn't say what, Vayanunu. So the Torah Shebaal Peh explains Vayanunu. That the Jews had to work so hard, yeah. And the next pasuk, the Torah Shebaal Peh, Vayaris Anyenu Zeprishas Derech Eretz. It doesn't say what, Vayaris Anyenu. So the Baal HaGadol says that the proper thing is that people should always speak Lashon Nekiyah. People should have different languages. Each language has its own klolim, what's considered Lashon Nekiyah. In some languages, something is Lashon Nekiyah, in other languages, it's not. So the Jews, that's the first daf in Pesachim, the Gemara talks about the importance of speaking Lashon Nekiyah. So the Yaris Anyena doesn't say what, it means Prishas Derech Eretz, that the Egyptians didn't let their husbands live with their wives, Yederech Ish V'Yishta. Derech Eretz means Tashmash Amito. So the Tana doesn't even call it, but it says Prishas Derech Eretz. It doesn't say what. And the Pasuk doesn't say what. But that's what it's a reference to, the Loshon Nekiyah. Vayaris Anyenu is Prishas Derech Eretz. And on that Pasuk it says, Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Aviseinu, the Jewish people prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He redeemed us. So we quote the drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh, we never dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says, Vayi b'yamim harabim ha'em, Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim, Vayonch Menei Solomir Avoyda, Vayzok, Vatal Shavas Melech Malekim Menu Avoyda. So the Torah Shabbat is explaining, we never really daven to the Rebbe Shalom. We were just krechtsing and moaning and groaning from the Koshi HaShibud. After Parah died, so the Shibud became even worse. So we were crying out, we were crying from the Koshi HaShibud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His kindness, considered our crying as if we had davened. That's how the Ramban says on Chumash. So the Meforshim of the Nesivis has his commentary on the Haggadah. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over a lot of comments from the Nesivis, because in Europe it was common, people used to daven from a Derech HaChaim Siddur. Derech HaChaim is like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that was written by the Nesivis. Mishneh Berurah quotes a Derech HaChaim every other page. Derech HaChaim is by the Nesivis on Aruch Chaim. So he, in his Siddur, the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he has the Haggadah, because the minhag used to be they recited the Haggadah in Shul on Shabbos HaGadol. And he has his commentary on the bottom of the page. That's called the Maisa Nisim HaGadol. So on this pasuk, he quotes that. Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Aviseinu kemo shenemar doesn't mean that we daven. It means that we were crying. Vayonch Menei Solomir Avoyda. They were krechtsing and moaning and groaning from the Koshi HaShibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind to us, and He considered as if we had daven, and He answered our prayers as if we had prayed. We never really prayed. The Jewish people never really prayed. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the comment that the Derech HaChaim Siddur has, the Maisa Nisim HaGadol has. The Rishonim asked, how come you don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim? So they give different answers. So the Nesivus has an answer that he, Rav Soloveitchik, liked very much, because the Netziv has this barichas in another context. So the Nesivus says, why don't we say a bracha when we say Kiddush? Kiddush is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Why don't we recite a bracha when we recite Birchas HaMazon? Birchas HaMazon is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Why don't we recite a Birchas HaMitzvah when we say Shehakol Nir B'Dvar before we drink a cup of coffee? It's a mitzvah min HaRabbanan to say a Birchas HaNer. How come we don't say a bracha? So the Nesiva says he thinks the answer is that the Chachamim only introduced a Birchas HaMitzvah where the mitzvah itself is not being fulfilled in the form of a bracha. But when you say Kiddush, Birchas HaMazon, or Birchas HaNenin, So you're fulfilling the mitzvah in the form of a bracha. So they never introduced the birchas hamitzvah in addition to the bracha that you're reciting. So not only that, the Netziv points out, duchening is a takanas chacham that should take place in the middle of chazaras hashatz. So true, the duchening is not in the form of a bracha, but it's within the framework of brachas. So medina the gemara, it would appear in the gemara that mikra didn't. The Kohanim do not have to say the bracha. That was a Midas Chasidus that one of the Tanoim introduced. But Mikra Din, there's no Birchas HaMitzvah and Duchening. Why not? Like the Balamor writes, Bizmana Mishnah, Bizmana Gemara, when they blew Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, so they never said the bracha. In the days of the Gaonim, when they used to do so many piyutim, and the davening was so long, and that people couldn't stay, the Chodim Iskenim, and the Noshim Ubaris, and Menikus, couldn't stay so long, so they introduced Kiyah Shofar before Musaf, so then you're not blowing Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, you're blowing before, so then the Baal HaMor said, that's why they introduced the Bracha, Lishma Kol Shofar. Why is it that when they used to blow Shofar only in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, there was no Bracha? So the Baal HaMor says this klal. Whenever you fulfill a mitzvah within the framework of brachas, Kiyah Shofar is supposed to be in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, at the conclusion of Malchus Zechonus and Shofars, and the Duchening is supposed to be in the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, right after Moedim. So since the Duchening is in the middle of it's in the framework of brachas, so then every introduced an additional Birchas HaMitzvah Meikir Adin. So that's what the Nesivus writes. CPTS Mitzrayim is a takonas chacham that it should be fulfilled within the framework of four brachas alakos: Kiddush, Hashir Gyalanu, Birchas Hamazon, and Birchas Hashir. And then we stuff in other things. We put halal over here and halal over there, and Arami Abu Dhabi, and so on. But basically, the framework, the outline, are these four brachas alakos. And since this mitzvah of CPTS Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled within the framework of brachas, and that's why they never bothered to introduce another Birchas HaMitzvah.
And we would make a bracha on everything else, on the matzah, on the maror, on the kosos, and everything else, and consider them. No. So they're within the context of a bracha also.
That's just, that mitzvah can exist without. Let's say you don't have a haggadah, you just have matzah. So you can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah without. But the sipit siyas mitzrayim has to be fulfilled the way the chachamim set it up, in the framework of the four brachas. Mor is a separate mitzvah. Or you can fulfill also without CPTS Mitzrayim. Then we emphasize, Vayotzein Hashem Mitzrayim lo yadei mach ve lo yadei shaliach. This was a geula. Yeshuas adan ayidei shaliach, but a geula is only done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We have a strange lashon. Kodesh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz La'asoi is a very strange lashon. So some of the commentaries point out that the word Keitz is a gematria of 190, that the original Gzeira was by the Bris Ben Absorim that was supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years, and we're only there for 210 years, Kiminyan Redu. So there were 190 years missing. So that's Chishev Es HaKeitz, the 190 years the Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of. So how did he wave away? What magic wand did he wave away that we got away with 210 years instead of 400 years? So the different Midrashim gave two different answers. The one answer they give is that Ger Yezarach Beretz Lo Lahem began from Leidas Yitzchak. That Eretz Yisrael didn't belong to Avram Avinu at that time. So that was Ger Yezarach Beretz Lo Lahem. But Vavodavinu, us, Marba Meoshana, they're going to work for 400 years, but we didn't work for 400 years. So there was Koshi Hashibut, the Mitzvah made the Jewish people work much more than the Rabban Shalom intended in the first place. That's why some of the Mefarshim say, if Ayach Be Hashem is Leif Paro, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who suspended Paro's Bechira Chapshis, and he was forced into keeping the Jewish people as Avodim, so why did he deserve to be punished? He didn't exercise Bechira Chapshis. So the answer is no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makshaliba a little bit, but he made them work more than Rabban Shalom wanted him to make them work. So that's what they say in the name of Rav Elbala Soloveitchik. These two units of 400 years ended at the same time. The 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak, there were two gzeiros. Ger Yezarach Beretz Lo Lahem 400 years, Vavon Avinu Oisim 400 years. So the 400 years of Ger Yezaracha that ended 400 years after Leidas Yitzchak. And the Koshi Hashibud was Mashlim, the 400 years, but Arba Meir Shana, and those ended simultaneously. So that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu made a Cheshbon, Chishev Es HaKeitz, he made a Cheshbon that the 190 missing years both ended at the same time. So that's why the Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred at that time. That's what they say from Avodah Soloveitchik. Rabbi Kiveger HaMishnayis Brachas quotes the Achrayim who raised the question. We said earlier in the Haggadah, Amar Rav Lazar ben Azari, when he was appointed chief rabbi, Hari Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, he was a young man, he was only 18 years old, but he grew streaks of gray in his beard when they appointed him as the chief rabbi. I says, I look like I'm 70 years old. Haraniya Kivenshi Mishana. And he never knew what is the mocker that there's an obligation to recite Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim every day at night. Shachris, he knows. Man Tizkar Sein Tzeis Lamer Tzayim Kol Yimecha Yecha Yimecha Yecha Hayomim. But how do you know Halevos? How do you know you have to mention, how do you know you have to recite the third parsha of Shema every night in Meirid? Maybe it's only in Shachris. The first two parshas of Shema, Shema are for Kriya Shema, Shach B'chav Kumecha. But the third parsha of Shema is for the purpose of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that should only be Kol Yimecha Yecha in the daytime. So he says he never knew what the Mokka was. Asher Rasha Ben Zayma. So Ben Zayma said, Kol. The word Kol is Iriba Yimecha Yecha Hayamim Kol Yimecha Yecha Halilos. The word Kol is Marbelelos. The Chachamim disagree. They hold no. Then you're not mechuyev to say Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. But what do you darshan from the word Kol? Kol is Iriba. So they say Kol. That's a ribuy that even Moshe Lava there'll also be an obligation to mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Rebbe Kivega quotes from the Achrayim on the side of the Mishnayos and Brachos a question: how come when they quote the Shita of Chachamim Amrim, so they say Kol Yimechayecha Lahavi LeMoshe Hamashiach LeRabbis means LeRabbis LeMoshe Hamashiach? When Rav Loz Ben Azar quoted Ben Zayma, why didn't he say Yimechayecha Hayamim Kol Yimechayecha Lahavi Halelos? Why only the Chachamim say Lahavi LeMoshe Hamashiach? Ben Zayma should have also said Lahavi Halelos. So that's where Rav Zalba Soloveitchik gave an answer on the Rebbe Kivega's Kasha, but he quotes from Nachranim. Lahavi LeMoshe Hamashiach means that the Chiyuv Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim that exists Bizman Hazeh will continue to, the same Chiyuv will continue to exist even through LeMoshe Hamashiach. This is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah, and the Mitzvahs will exist Le'olam V'Oed. It's not a Hayra Ashur. So that's why he says, Lahavi LeMoshe Hamashiach, we're marbe that the Mitzvah that we have today will still continue to exist then. The other Tana, Ben Zayma is not saying you're marbe. He says, Yimechayecha Hayamim, Kol Yimechayecha. He can't say, Lahavi Halelois, not Lahavi. You're not marbe that the same Mitzvah, and it's a different Mitzvah. Shagazai has a famous essay. He says, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Bayom is one mitzvah. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is a different mitzvah. Zmano Shel Zeh Lo Kezmano Shel Zeh. So that's why the Tana Ben Zayma can't use the lashon Lahavi Halelos. Lahavi means your marbe that the other's man still has the same mitzvah. It's not the same mitzvah. Koyimechayecha Halelos. There's a separate chiyuv that recites Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Balaylo. Shabbos had a week paskin. So we assume, we say Emes V'Emunah at night also. We mention, we say the third parasha of Shema at night. We assume that that there is Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Balaylo. So we assume that Lossi, Lovi LeMoshe Hamashiach, there won't be a Chiyuv Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, maybe that's the reason why the Rambam didn't count Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. He only counts Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. He doesn't count the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the Rambam writes in the 14 Klolim in the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvahs, you only include mitzvahs that are going to be noyeg l'doros. If you have a mitzvah that's only hayrasha, that doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvah. So hayrasha could be for a year, for 40 years, or for a few thousand years. If the mitzvahs won't continue through the Moshe Hamashiach, then it means that it's only hayrasha. So since we say the third parsha of Shema by Ma'ariv, and we say Emes V'Emunah by Ma'ariv, so we follow Ben Zayma, we don't follow the Chachamim. So we assume that the word kol is marbe leilos. So there is no market to be marbe leMoshe Hamashiach. So we assume in Moshe Hamashiach the mitzvah won't apply. So that's what they say, the famous explanation, Meshem Rab Chaim, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvah. He didn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, we better dive in Mincha. Maybe tomorrow we'll go through Parsha Tzav, if there'll be anybody here. Okay. Anybody going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov?